This is an interview with Mr. Bruce Hatton, recorded at Mr. Hatton's home on the 18th of October 1995. The subject relates to the Hatton family living at the Springfield Homestead or Old Cheese Factory from the mid-1930s to the early 1980s. The interviewer is Debbie Stefan, Historical Officer, City of Casey. Testing the recording.
My name is Bruce Hatton. My father came out to Australia in 1908 when he was at the tender age of 17 years. He first landed in Sydney, where an uncle of his gave him an introduction to people on the land. He was on a dairy farm for a while, but eventually he got into the sheep areas of western New South Wales. He used to speak quite a lot about Wilcannia and a fairly large sheep station there. In fact, I got to see it in the 1970s and spoke with the descendants of the then owners, and we had a very interesting discussion. In fact, in Wilcannia, I actually saw a plaque written up with the names of those who had decided to enter the First World War, and among the names inscribed was the name of my father. During the war, he was what I believe to be shell-shocked. He was repatriated back to England, which he had not seen for about 10 years. He finally came back to Australia at the end of the war, where he received some fairly rudimentary agricultural training at Dookie College, and eventually he was settled on about 100-acre block of land at Kyabram. By that time, he was married, to a lady named Elsie, G-E-L-L, Jell. I say my mother was Elsie Jell. She came from a Riverina station called Burrungon. Her ancestors came out to Australia in 1824 or thereabouts, and her mother was also English, came out in the 1860s, my mother had a governess at school, which she shared with some of the other children of the area, as it was too far for the for travel to the to Urana, which was many miles away. My mother, during the war, gave voluntary service as an aide in the hospitals, treating sick soldiers. I'm not sure where they met exactly, although it may have been Bathurst in New South Wales. One of the memories of my father was in 1910, where he was sleeping up in a hayloft as his bedding, where he was on the property where he was working, and at 5 o'clock one morning in 1910, he looked out at the very bright sky and saw the tail of Halley's Comet, which he always liked referring to in his older age. I was born in 1922. I grew up on this 100-acre farm, went to the local Kye Valley School until I was the age of 13. During those years, although I was well fed was never hungry, we didn't have too much in the way of luxuries. our means of conveyance was by a gig. It was about five miles to Kyabram, and that meant at least one weekly trip into the town for supplies. I was not aware of the difficult economic times which prevailed in from 28 onwards, when I would have been 1928 onwards, when I would have been about six and had just started school. Therefore, I didn't really appreciate the struggle and the difficulties which my parents had. I do remember, for example, that my mother had to restrict the supplies of tobacco to my father. So that must have been just a good indication of how tough things really were. I also remember the number of swaggies, as we call them, people who would call in to see if they could chop your wood for $2. Just how they spent the $2, I don't know. I also remember one fellow who came to our back door and asked, could he have some food? Could we give him a meal? So that is some indication of just how desperate people were to keep body and soul together. As a result of the depression and the lack in demand for agricultural products by England, the price of wheat was something like sixpence a bag. Well, don't quote me on this, but it was just not worth growing. The closer settlement commission of Victoria decided that my father could no longer make a go of it, and they offered him a small block of land of his choosing. And I think he was very, very fortunate to be selected for or what we call the Berwick and Homestead Road. So in 1936, or the beginning of 1936, my father relinquished his block, and we, as a family, moved down to Berwick, taking with us our possessions, and in one large van. In fact, tied on to the back of the van was a meat safe, and in that meat safe we put the family cat. Anyway, it did survive the journey, but I don't know how, with all the dust and so on.
You didn't go straight to the block at
Springfield,
that's
right. Did you? Yes, because Homestead Road, that was a property that we were assigned to, a tenant of the commission was growing a crop of potatoes, and these potatoes were using up so much of the land that they even went up into, right up to the house. Now is occupied by the gardens. He was given the opportunity to clear his crop before my father was allowed to move from a house down the road into into the property. My father's health was not not able to allow him to work at a settled occupation, so some of the land eventually he allowed to be taken up by other farmers around the area, grazing of cows and some horses. Fortunately, he was able to call on funds which have come from England, from his father's estate, and I don't know how they managed, but my parents were able to send me to a private school.
And How do you remember the property when you first went there? You were about 13, were you?
Yes. When I first came there, I can remember particularly that I had to walk up a hill, which was something which was quite foreign to me, having lived all the while in the Goulburn Valley, where it was, pretty flat. So that's my really first memory of waking up the next morning after having arrived there to walk up this this hill.
And the house had been renovated.
Oh, for you? Well, yes. I must say this is the closer settlement board that they did make the house quite livable. The paintwork was restored, and the veranda was also refloored. In fact, I believe the materials were provided. And my father did the work. So we were very fortunate, I feel, to have made the place our home, which we did. My mother was a very keen gardener, and she, in conjunction with a gentleman whose name I've forgotten,
was came it Baldwin? And
well,
Baldwin? Dick Baldwin?
I know it was a friend of Dick Baldwin's, I think, and along with Dick, who drew up a sketch plan of it, and I think I can remember using a hose to outline the where the lawn should be, dividing it off from the house, and substantially that is still the area of the lawn.
So what trees were planted first?
Oh yes, well several trees were planted, including the huge cypress pine, and to the south towards the road, another pine tree was also, or cypress pine was also planted. But during a storm, this magnificent tree was blown over. That provided a lot of firewood for us. But the original cypress, at this time, 1995, would have been planted for about 60 years. There's an Atlantic cedar also nearer towards the road. That would have been planted in about 1940. The rose trees, which are to the east, near the fence, dividing off the paddocks, they were planted in the 1950s. When I was in my teens, that I thought it would be a good idea if we could make a grass tennis court. So with a great deal of raking and a bit of scooping, we levelled out a patch which we were able to then get some of the pipes which were no longer used in the from the paddocks, and they provided the posts, which were then cemented into the ground, and eventually we got some wire stop the balls being to stop the balls within the court area, and we had my brother and I had many enjoyable hours playing tennis and inviting some of our friends from the town to provide some competition.
Where was the tennis court?
Oh, the tennis court was to the north to provide the maximum amount of sun. Although the cypress tree, which now contains the statue, that spread its branches over the court. And made the grass a little bit harder to grow under its branches.
So would that be next to your father's vegetable garden?
Yes, that is. Well, you can. It now forms. Has been formed into a croquet lawn. But the original lawn and coots is still there.
And when did your father start the vegetable garden?
Oh, I guess it just grew up like Topsy. See, by that stage I had more or less left home. In fact, I was in the army from 1941 until 1946. Although I used to visit home on many weekends, I became increasingly, separated from the daily goings on.